Hey, everybody. Kevin Grossman, president of Talent Board. If improving your recruiting processes and the candidate experience for both external and internal candidates are key priorities for you and your organization, then we highly recommend you register for our 2019 North American Candy Symposium and Awards Gala in Washington, D.C. on October 14th. We have a full day of amazing speakers and sessions, and we're also doing this event in conjunction with the ERE Recruiting Conference on October 15th and 16th. So the evening of the 14th, you can come join us at the joint reception with the ERE. And then that evening, you can enjoy our gala awards dinner where we celebrate the 2019 North American Candy Experience Awards winners, companies that have the highest positive candidate ratings in our research, and enjoy a dinner and award ceremony. Just go to thetalentboard.org and click on the Candy Symposium and Awards Gala link, and then you can register with code CE19VIP to save $50 off an already very reasonable registration price. We hope to see you in DC on October 14th. Now enjoy the podcast.
We're going to talk about some of the typical problems that our panelists face in their organization. You can't have a perfect candidate experience. In reality, we just don't have the resources and the time and to prioritize all of those things. So what are the typical problems that these panelists are facing, and what of those problems are they prioritizing to address?
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Susan Lamont, founder and CEO of Exaquio, an employer brand and talent consultancy, and the panel moderator for our upcoming Candy Symposium and Awards Gala on October 14th. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Susan, thank you so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you tell us all a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, Kevin. My name is Susan Lamont. I'm the founder and CEO of Exaquio. We are an employer brand experience firm. And what we do is we build employer brands and the corresponding talent strategies to go with those brands for our clients. We do extensive research, including both candidate, employee, and external market research, brand architecture builds and consulting, and then we have a full service creative and digital team as well. So we're an employer brand agency, but we're set up as a consulting firm because of the unique way we partner with our clients.
That's fantastic. And we're going to talk in and around that as we go through this podcast too. The first thing that I want to share is that I'm super excited that you're going to be moderating the panel discussion that we put together for this year's Candy Symposium and Awards Gala in Washington, D.C. on October 14th. And that's going to include leaders from Panasonic Automotive, Workiva, Waste Management, American Airlines, and Advent Health. So what topics are you going to tackle for this panel discussion, Susan?
So I'm really excited about this panel because I think candidate experience is now a topic that's no longer, gosh, we should really think about our candidate experience, but now it's really a part of strategy. And we see employer brand, which is our heart and soul, as really branding and marketing the entire employment experience. And a big part of that is candidate experience. So in the panel, we're going to start first by talking about sort of the shift of candidate experience. It used to be that we focused on recruiting as a company-driven process, and this notion of shifting it to put the candidate at the center of that. We're going to talk about some of the typical problems that our panelists face in their organization. You can't have a perfect candidate experience. In reality, we just don't have the resources and the time and to prioritize all of those things. So what are the typical problems that these panelists are facing, and what of those problems are they prioritizing to address? We'll talk about consistency in the candidate experience, especially as it relates to diversity and inclusion, making sure everyone is treated fairly and respectfully. And then I'm really excited about talking with them about next generation candidate experience. I've been stewarding the development of a new candidate experience model, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a couple of minutes, but I'm excited to share this model as part of the panel and also for the panelists to weigh in on how they're evolving their candidate experience to really put that candidate at the center of things.
Yeah, what's exciting is that after doing this research that we do at Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards for the past 9 ish years and growing, that it's great to see so many employers that are really finally taking a look at it, and not only about improving the individual candidate experience for both external and internal candidates, but also really better connecting the dots, the impact on their brand over time. Since, as I've been touting recently, we're in the business of no in recruiting, unfortunately. And there's a lot of folks that we say no to much more so than we say yes to. And that experience can definitely, with those folks, impact the business and the brand. So, in speaking of brand and impact on business, at Exaquio, you work with a lot of different organizations, big and small, across industries. When I first met you, you were at Marriott as well, I believe. And yeah. I think it was an event at Facebook where you were speaking. Gosh, that's a long time ago now. My goodness. Anyway, so Susan, at Exaquio, you work with many different organizations, big and small, across industries. So talk about the primary challenges that you've heard about of late and or help with when you're working with these talent acquisition teams. And especially as it relates to people, process, technology, because all those things are interplay when it comes to impacting recruiting and candidate experience. And because I'm infamous at asking 2, 3, 5 part questions, give us an example too of how you've kind of worked with them to help overcome that challenge. So it's a big one, but see what you can bite off there.
So there's 3 big challenges that I would say are key right now in employer brand that we hear over and over from clients. The first is the idea of building an employer brand that's truly authentic. What happens is that organizations are starting to realize the importance of employer brand, that it's not just an execution activity, but it's really a strategy, just like we build and manage our brands on the marketing or consumer side. But what happens is you get executives and they build their employer brands in a boardroom. What I mean by that is they start having conversations about what they think the employment experience is. They start trying to build a brand by peppering it with the things that they think should be included. We hear a lot of shoulds. We should be talking about diversity. We should have a brand that talks about collaboration and teamwork, rather than what is. And so we're really big proponents of doing market research. And I don't mean just a couple of HR-led focus groups, but putting the same rigor around collecting data on the employment experience that we do on the marketing side, in terms of the same rigor around our customer experience. The Business Roundtable came out with some news the other day that kind of made me chuckle, that, you know, CEOs of big Fortune 500 and global companies are realizing that shareholders aren't the only thing that matters, that employees do too, and sort of made me laugh because I thought,
I read the same article. I know what you're talking about.
It got so much press and it made me laugh. I thought, yeah, we've been talking about this for 30 years, but okay. But you know, the challenge is we do all these employee engagement surveys and we just collect all this quant data, and we just collect data in the way we want to hear it, right? What are the tools and resources that you need to do your job? We would never say to customers, what are the tools that you need in order to buy our product? We have to put it in the terms of the candidate, the employee. So that's trend number one, is making sure you're building an authentic employer brand that is truly reflective of the actual employment experience, not the experience that executives think it should be. The other trend, number two, that we're seeing is really this trend around the shift from employer brand as execution to employer brand as strategy. The challenge with employer brand is that it started to get really popular, even though the term's been around since the 90s, started to get really popular with the advent of social media in the mid to late 2000s. And what that meant for employer brand is that people thought about employer brand as recruitment, marketing, and activation. And so even today, 10, 12 years later, when people talk about employer brand, they're talking about it as, I have a Facebook careers page. It's all execution and activation. All of those things are important, but it would be like, imagine some of the world's biggest brands putting up a billboard or running an ad in the New York Times without having any research, without having any strategy. They just decided to design the ad, put it out there. So we believe really strongly in the importance of strategy, and organizations are starting to see the impact of the brand when they do it that way. And then I think the last thing that's been really powerful is, and we hear a lot about, especially at the couple conferences I've been to lately, is the struggle of marketing working with HR. And I wrote a blog post on this. You can find it on exactlio.com. Part of the challenge is that both functions have so much to learn from each other. And yet what happens is they get in this battle of control, right? Where should employer brand sit? Who owns the brand? Marketing wants to make sure HR is following brand standards. HR wants marketing to understand that consumers and candidates or consumers and employees aren't the same thing. And so you get into turf wars and political battles rather than, hey, marketing, gosh, I have so much to learn from you. Can I pick your brain? Can you help me think more strategically? And marketing saying, HR, you know people better than anybody else. How can you help us understand what the differences are? I mean, I'll give you an example. We were working with a hospitality company and they had a big consumer brand agency that was working with them. And the consumer brand agency really wanted, and the marketing team really wanted to do the employer brand activation. And so they came up with all these ideas and HR said, well, you know, let's get our employer brand partner on the line and let's talk through them. The first idea they had was a Snapchat scavenger hunt for housekeepers in New York City. Snapchat scavenger hunt sounds cool, but when we think about the typical housekeeper, you want to really dig in to understand their behaviors. They tend to be, especially in New York City, they're working multiple jobs. They're taking the bus. They don't have cars. They're not the primary demographic for Snapchat. And so it's helping our partners in marketing understand those things, not shooting down ideas, but helping them understand who is the audience and how do they behave the same way that you would on the consumer side.
I have teased talent acquisition folks at workshop after workshop anytime Snapchat comes up. And I'm like, no Snapchat. And I tease about it because I know that there are some use cases where that actually can work for a certain target demographic, but not in that scenario that you just laid out. I think that's a really good point. But I do think it is enlightening to see when I'm talking with organizations, so many of them are having better partnerships with their corporate marketing and we're trying to work together as it relates to promoting the brand and for who they're targeting, of what they do, the products and services they make, because they've got to be one and the same to a certain degree when it comes to that message that they're trying to get out there for the people they actually want to build that stuff. Another thing that I just wanted to underscore about what you laid out, Susan, is that we see some of the biggest differentiator these days when it comes to improving recruitment and candidate experiences in the front end. So meaning pre-application, application, post-application. Later on down the line, when we get to the offer and onboarding stages, we're finding that most companies, even the candy winning companies that have the highest positive candidate ratings, those ratings collapse really closely because we're all doing a lot of the same things at the end. Sure. But in the beginning, the greatest difference is in, again, those early stages of overall just improving more engagement or communication early on, better branding as you've outlined. So that's exciting to hear the work that you're doing. Just kind of bigger, broader picture then when it comes to what's, you know, the most important things employers should focus on around candidate experience. And then also, what about recruiting and hiring manager experiences? We should be thinking about all those, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, it's funny that you talk about the front end of the process because this is where we can learn the most from marketing. So when we talk about the most important thing employers should focus on when improving the candidate experience, I really think it's reevaluating where that experience starts. And at Exactly, when we do our research, we're not just starting with the time that you apply. We're starting much earlier to understand, when did you first hear about the brand? So you mentioned Panasonic Automotive is going to be on the panel. If we were talking to employees and doing research with them from Panasonic Automotive, the first thing we would say is, tell us about the first time you actually heard the word Panasonic. Do you remember where you were? Do you remember how you heard it? What's that brand association? And, you know, if I think about my own experience, it's probably a product that was in my home as a kid, you know, a Panasonic radio or a TV or something like that. And what that cemented in my mind and my perspective about the brand, that's where the relationship starts. And that's where we can really learn from our marketing colleagues, because they truly understand that your relationship with a brand, just like as an employee, your relationship with a company doesn't start when you apply for the job. It starts when you're first, even subconsciously, formulating an opinion, a relationship, or an association with that particular brand. And because in HR, we've so traditionally put the company at the center of the candidate experience, we're not paying attention to the impact that early relationship has on how we might feel about that organization as a potential employer. even if, as you alluded to really, you know, earlier, it's really important, even if they leave the process, right? They're not selected, or they exit themselves because they're not interested for whatever reason, they'll obviously hugely impactful to others when it comes to building their relationship, their association, and ultimately referring them or impacting their opinion of the organization as an employer.
Why is it important, kind of a softball question, but an important one too, for companies to understand and measure their candidate experience? Obviously, I would love for them to participate in the Talent Board Candidate Experience Awards benchmark research, but whether they're doing that or doing their own kind of continuous pulse survey, why is it important for folks to measure how their candidates perceive the overall fairness of the processes?
Well, measurement, of course, is important no matter what you do, but measuring the entirety of the experience, and I think the Candidate Experience Awards, for those folks that have not participated, it's a fantastic, easy, inexpensive first way to get some of that data. It's a good way to understand where your pain points are. And what's really interesting when we deep dive into, so we do a lot of that custom research with our clients, building on what they might do with the candies. And when we deep dive into it, we find a couple of things. One, that some of the pain points they think they had are pain points for them, but not necessarily pain points for candidates. And then some of the things that they don't think are that important are actually incredibly influential for candidates. I've been saying, gosh, I've been in this space, in HR, employer brand recruiting for over 20 years. And I've been shouting from the rooftops to whoever will listen to me that there is no such thing as source of hire. There isn't. Just like on the marketing side, there's no one reason you purchase a product. Right. There is no one reason that you hire someone. And so we believe really strongly in source of influence. So the measurement can help you understand what points along the entire candidate experience journey are most influential to your overall candidates. And then you can actually measure that to different types of candidates. If you're trying to increase the number of women you have in tech, you can determine which points in the journey are most influential. And then you can really focus your resources and your energy on those points. And so, you know, you asked about recruiting and hiring manager experiences. Let's say, using that women in technology example, let's say an organization determines that the hiring manager interview is the single most influential point for those women pursuing technology positions with this particular organization. Then what you can do certainly is you can focus on what's your strategy for the candidate, but you can also focus on how do you help that hiring manager? Because if you're, you know, you're a recruiter or talent acquisition leader, you want to make it easy for that hiring manager. You want the process to be seamless for them. You want to equip them with the right tools, the right questions, the right support, the right resources. And so you can think about, if that step is the most influential, what can you make sure the hiring manager has to help them close the deal? Because ultimately, filling, you know, diverse candidate slates and making sure they have a diverse team, whether that's gender, ethnicity, or anything else, is really important to that hiring manager, and they're going to get measured on that too. So that's where the research across the entire journey can be really important.
I would use the term love triangle, although I can't take credit for that. I don't remember who shared that with me. I don't remember actually. I'm drawing a blank, but I thought it was great that they called it the love triangle between candidates, recruiters, and hiring managers. But I think there's a lot more reality to that than the tongue in cheek, for sure. So Susan, briefly tell us, you've got an exciting candidate experience model that you've been working on that's coming out. Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I think as those of us who've been working candidate experience for a while know the importance of it, know that it's not just an afterthought, but it truly is a cornerstone to the entire hiring strategy. So across the past couple of years, we've been working with a number of different clients, partners, and others, Kevin, including you and the Talent Board, Jerry Crispin and Chris Hoyt at Career Crossroads, and a number of other really respected folks in the space to develop a new model that the entire industry can use. And the big shift that it makes is it puts the candidate at the center of the journey. It's no longer a process. It's an emotional journey that candidate goes through. And it starts all the way on the front end with that awareness and understanding piece, the actual awareness that the organization even exists, the understanding that they're an employer. I use the example of T-Mobile all the time. T-Mobile's based in Seattle. I live here in Charleston, South Carolina. And I had no idea that T-Mobile, until we started working with them, that they had a huge call center here in the Charleston area. Mm. So there's these sort of key points And the model really builds those out and then adds a measurement piece. So you can determine the levels of satisfaction, engagement, and what we call captivation. So you can prioritize which points along the journey are most important.
Oh, that's fabulous. Yes. And I actually did not know they had a call center in Charleston either. So there you go. Wow.
It is impacted right away.
Oh, absolutely. No. Thanks for sharing that, Susan. And so we work all the time. Right. We work. And one of the things I like to ask all my guests, at least the last question is, besides work, what else does Susan like to do? I know you've got two young children. I've got two kids myself. But what else does Susan focus on outside of work?
So my husband and I made a big move 3 years ago. I'd been in D.C., Washington, D.C. for about 17 years. We decided to move to Charleston, South Carolina. My husband actually grew up in the Lowcountry. And so we returned to kind of his home area. And that was a big shift for us, moving to Charleston. Now that we live here, we spend a lot of time downtown. The food scene is amazing here. But we also spend a ton of time on the water, at the beach, with the exception of how hot it gets in July and August. And even in those months, you'll find us outside most of the time. I've got two kids, a 2.5-year-old little boy and a 4.5-year-old little girl, and they absolutely keep me on my toes and remind me the importance of teaching work ethic from a really young age. And that's why I do what I do.
Oh my gosh. Amen to that. I totally agree with you on that one. And we had a family wedding last fall, October, in Charleston, and lovely. Oh my gosh. And the weather cooperated. It was a lovely time of year too. So Susan, thank you so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Looking forward to our big event on October 14th in Washington, D.C., and the panel discussion and everything else going on that week, including with ERE as well. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. And thanks for all you do to strengthen candidate experience.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and Benchmark Research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.